Remember that in the previous chapter, we have this constant contrast between this young boy Samuel, who's growing up in the Lord, and Hophni and Phinehas and Israel, who are going away from the Lord. And there's this contrast, and that's coming to a head now in chapter 3 and chapter 4, as God raises up Samuel to be his prophet in Israel. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." He ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I didn't call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again, the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. And therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down. And if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me, all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." And Samuel grew, and the word of the Lord, or the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel. May God bless his word to our hearts and lives. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light, Isaiah 9. The light shone on the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, John 1. And I'm reminded of these verses as I read 1 Samuel 3, where all is darkness in the land and the Lord is raising up the light of his word. Maybe you know the motto of the Reformation, post tenebras lux, after darkness, light. And here in Israel, new light is shining and a new world is being born. A prophet is coming who's going to hear the word of the Lord. There's been a hearing problem in Israel. And then speak the word of the Lord truthfully to his people. There's been a speaking problem in Israel. And this servant Samuel says, "Speak, O Lord." And may we also have that mind of a true prophet, that same open mind and heart to the true word, and humble ourselves before God's word and say, "Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening." We need the word. We need it desperately. Without the word, there's only darkness for John and Jocelyn and their family. Without the word, there's only darkness for your life. There's no hope. There's no way through the fog. But the word is life because the word is Christ. Speak, O Lord. We see here the word fading. Then the word calling Samuel and raising him up as a prophet. And then the word returning to Israel. First, the word fading. Those ominous words in 3 verse 1, the word of the Lord was rare. The word of the Lord is rare in those days. What days? The days of the judges. These were bad days. These were the dark ages in Israel. People didn't have an ear for the word of the Lord. Everyone had a mind of his own, to follow his own opinions and his own ways. Never mind what the Lord wants. I want what I want. My way is best. Remember, that was the motto of the days of the judges. There was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. There was no ear for the Lord's word. Not even the leaders, the priests, taught the word anymore. Remember what it says about Hophni and Phinehas in 2 verse 12. They did not know the Lord. And so Israel wandered far away from God's covenant. They didn't live on his promises. They didn't keep his commandments. Just think of what that meant. Think of what it would mean for us as parents, people of God, when the word is rare and the word is all but gone from your household. And we can be busy with many things and working really hard and bringing the kids here and there, preoccupied with our phones. But one thing that's missing then is the word. And it becomes rare. It's fading from the scene. Bibles may fill the house, but does the word of God fill our home? And the scariest thing about this passage is these were not atheists. They were religious. They were going to temple. The priests were still busy conducting their religious business. There was lots of religion going on here in the land, but the word of the Lord was rare. And the second part of that, there was no frequent vision. That's the other side of it. Because they didn't have an ear for the word. The Lord judged Israel by shutting down prophecy. Oh, we read in chapter 2 of a man of God coming, chapter 2, verse 27, with a prophecy of judgment on Eli and his household for being negligent and wicked. But the word was coming less and less. It didn't happen often. As Amos says in Amos 8, the Lord was creating a famine for the hearing of his word. He was letting people have their own way and plunging them into a time of deep darkness. Say, okay, you follow your desires into misery. If you don't want to follow the word of God into blessing. Because you know what, congregation? The word of God is your GPS that will take you home. It will lead you to salvation. Its message is Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the dead. It will lead you to the way of the Spirit, the good life of walking with God and pleasing the Lord, and lead you all the way home. But if you let it slide from your life, then the Lord will pull back his word from us. Let us go our own way into the nightmare of ignorance and confusion. Al Mohler keeps talking about that in his podcast, of how much biblical illiteracy is taking over the United States. So many people in recent tests by Barna and others will answer questions like, who is Joan of Arc? Noah's wife. That Sodom and Gomorrah are viewed as husband and wife. Who's the one who preached the Sermon on the Mount? Billy Graham. 82% of churchgoers think that God helps those who help themselves. It's found in the Bible. And on and on. This is a land that's filled with the Bible, but the word is rare. And we live in that kind of society. Just think about that. We read that in chapter 2. If the priests are doing what they're doing, laughing when God's word scolds them, stealing the sacrifice and using it for themselves, laying with the women in the temple courts, despising the worship of God, having contempt for the word of the Lord. That's just the tip of the iceberg in the land. As Proverbs 23 verse 19 says, where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint. How awful, how awful. That's what's happening in our society. When there's no revelation, there's no word, the people cast off restraint and do whatever they please. Well, we live in such a society, but imagine growing up in the church without the gospel, without the word of God, and how hopeless and dark that is. And what a privilege you have, Amberlee. What a privilege that you have to grow up in a place where the word of the Lord is not rare, but plentiful. The greatest privilege there is for a child, let alone adults. And so let's examine our own ways, congregation. We may have Bibles everywhere, on the shelf, beside the bed, on your tablet, on your phone, and never or rarely use it. As someone said, it's possible to have bread in your hand and still starve when it comes to the Word of God. How critical it is. God's Word is your life. Think of the power of the Word in the Bible. By it, God gave the world its existence. Life depends on the Word. Through His Word, God called Abraham, saved him and his household. His Word finally came in the flesh, Jesus Christ, who is our salvation and our eternal life. How critical it is to have the Word. And when the Word becomes rare, we're on the brink of disaster and extinction. That's how critical this is. If the Lord doesn't do a mighty work in Israel, there'll be nothing left. The Word, Jesus, He died to pay for our sin and set us free from God's wrath. He rose to give us eternal life and take us all the way to glory. He gives us a life that's stronger than death and a joy that's stronger than grief. Well, we see secondly how the Word calls. The Word was rare. There was no frequent vision. And then we have God's voice breaking the silence. Samuel, this is good news. God's talking. In the midst of darkness, the light shines. It begins, verse 2. Doesn't look very positive. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. I believe this has a double meaning. He's growing blind, but spiritually, he's also not seeing very well. He's not seeing things clearly. Verse 3, the lamp of God had not yet gone out. Again, a double meaning. That's the menorah, the golden lampstand in the holy place with seven candlesticks. And at twilight, Aaron had to fill the little bulbs with oil, enough to cause the lampstand to shine all night. While the lampstand had not yet gone out, it was midnight. It was, the morning had not yet come when this call happened. But at the same time, the word of the Lord was almost gone, but not quite yet snuffed out in Israel. And that's when the call of Samuel took place. Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, we read. He's called a boy in this passage. He might only be 12 yet. We don't know for sure, but he's called a boy. And he's wearing an ephod, a priest's robe. And he was in a very responsible position. He was taking care of the temple as Eli grew older and Hophni and Phinehas were not doing their job. And then verses 4 and 5, a voice in the night, somewhere between midnight and dawn, called Samuel. And he said, here I am. He's perhaps used to this. Eli's getting old and can't see very well and often calls Samuel, I need help with this, I need help with that. Okay. He ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. I didn't call you, lie down again. So he went and lay down. The voice came again, verse 6, Samuel. I'm sure that's real, thought Samuel. I can't be imagining this. It's got to be Eli. Same thing, Eli denies it. Tells Samuel to lay down again. But then the Bible tells us why Samuel didn't understand. Verse 7, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. What does that mean? It sounds bad. It sounds like Hophni and Phinehas, they did not know the Lord. Except for one word that's different. They did not know the Lord. The word yet is added for Samuel. He did not yet know the Lord, for the Lord had not yet appeared to him. Hophni and Phinehas did not know the Lord. He had appeared. The Lord appeared to them often. The yet was gone. And they had persistently turned their back on his word, shut their ear to his word. Instead of saying, speak, O Lord, for your servants are listening, they would say, be quiet, Lord. Stop hassling me. I'm tired of you troubling my life with your stuff, your truth. In this case, it's different. He did not yet know the Lord because the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. It simply means that he had not yet been called by the Lord to be a prophet. And he didn't yet know the sound of God's voice because in those days, before they had the Bible, God spoke to the prophets. And then after the third time, verse 8, Eli knows what's going on. Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. And Eli had something left of the true knowledge of God in him. He realized God was up to something. And he gave Samuel the best advice any adult or any child could ever receive. When God talks, you should say, "Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening." Praise the Lord. Because that exactly is what Israel needs. Somebody to say this, to have a humble heart before God, fall down before his word and say, "Lord, I'm your servant. Teach me your way. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." And hearing in the Bible isn't just an ear thing. It's a heart thing. The Hebrew word also means heed. Hear and heed. Speak and I'll listen and do. Now, opposite of the darkness of those days where everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Speak and I will listen. I'm so thankful for the persistence of God. He called once, he called twice, he called three times, he called four times. How he didn't give up. That's the grace of God that keeps the church going and advancing throughout the world. That rather than leave us to our own heart's desires and finally let the word of God be snuffed out so that the church dies, he persists and he persists in raising up the word of the Lord. And a new day is dawning, post tenebras lux, after darkness, light. In two ways, we read here. First, the Lord is talking again. He's sending his word. He's raising a prophet to speak to Israel. That's good news. He's not going to let the lamp of God go out. And that persistence of God to raise up the word is going to keep going through Israel's dark history in later years till finally he sends the final word, Jesus Christ, the word made flesh, who brings about a new day and a new world and new life for those walking in darkness. Praise God for the gift of his word to a people who do not deserve his word and his persistence in bringing it. This is love. Oh, may he show that persistence in Amberly's life and breakthrough to her. And he may show that persistence in all of our lives. If you have a child who's wandering, a loved one who's not answering the call, please pray today. God will persist in raising up a new day in your loved one's life. This is the answer to our culture's problems, to the waywardness and the misery of the church and of our lives. It's the voice of God. That's the answer. So that's the first part of the miracle. God's talking again. He's calling. He's raising up a man of the word, a prophet. But the other miracle is somebody's listening. There's a boy whose ear is open to the word of God, who's receptive, who's willing to be taught so that he can go out and preach and teach the word of God to all Israel. Somebody with a new heart. We'll sing that, "I am listening, Lord, to thee. Do not take your word from me." I was speaking to someone at seminary last week in Ukraine, in Kyiv. And though her grandparents grew up with the word, sort of, in the times of Joseph Stalin, the word became rare. And two generations later, the grandchildren didn't know anything about the Bible, zero. Then God shone the light of the gospel, the light of his word, into the nations of the former Soviet Union by bringing in missionaries. And this lady received a Bible. First, she did nothing with it. Then she took it off the shelf and started reading it. Had many questions about life, had much confusion. But the Lord spoke his word into her life. That's the first miracle. He spoke into her darkness. And of all things, the word that converted her was not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It was Job. Because she was in the spot of demanding that all her questions be answered. "I don't want anything unknown." And then she gets to Job 38, where God says to Job, "Where were you, Lord, when I laid the foundation?" Or, "Where were you, Job, when I laid the foundations of the earth? Who are you, to demand an accounting from me. You just need to become a little child and lay your life on the lap of my almighty hand and submit to me. And she, there's the second miracle of her life. The Lord broke through and said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. She became submissive to the word of God. It's a miracle that happened in the land of Israel. It's a miracle that needs to happen in all of our lives. Praise the Lord that he's not yet done with his people. The word of life sounded again. And it reminds me of the Middle Ages. That was an age that was so deeply religious, like Israel in the days of Eli. But it's known as the Dark Ages because people were so far away from God and from the word. And in that dark age of unbelief, God raised up bright lights like Wycliffe and Huss and Luther and Calvin and many others. And he taught his word to them. And by the Spirit's power, they listened. And a new day dawned upon the church as the gospel of God was once again heard across Europe. And that's what God's doing for Israel by raising up Samuel and filling him with his word. Paul asks that, how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they're sent? How can they be sent unless they're called? Samuel, Samuel, good news. God has raised up a prophet, and then he gets his first revelation from the Lord. Here's your first sermon, Samuel. Here's your first sermon. And the news of your first sermon is so shocking that it'll make both ears tingle of everyone who hears it. Not from excitement and joy, but from fear and dread. A message of judgment on Eli's house. That Hophni and Phinehas have so disregarded the sacrifice of Christ. Trampled upon the blood. There's no forgiveness left for them. No atonement. And they're going to be destroyed. What a first sermon to preach. You see, God has a new day breaking open for Israel. He's got a new priesthood coming. He's got a new king coming. First Saul, the wrong king. Not because Samuel made a mistake, but the Israelites wanted a wrong king, so God gave him that. And then the right king, David. But in order for that new day to come, the old must die. And that's his first sermon. The old must die. That's true for us too. God's word is a word of hope and life, but if you reject it and reject it and reject it, you come to a point where God will not call you anymore, but only destroy you. Don't let yourself reach that point. He's persistent. He's patient. But don't cross the line where you've gone too far. But rather be one who says today, maybe you've been goofing off till now, not paying attention to the word of God, throwing this great gift away, not listening to the preaching of the word, not using the word. Today's the day of salvation. Say, speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. And then no matter how obstinate you've been, God's word will enter your life and a new day will come for you. Behold, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And there's life for you, and there's joy for you, and there's peace for you, no matter what hardships you may have to face. Well, then we see, thirdly, the word returns. So now the prophet is tested. He's got this first sermon he's got to preach, and Satan's whispering in his ear, you can't talk to Eli like that. And he lays awake there. He doesn't go back to sleep, dreading that moment when he's got to open the temple doors, as his job is. And today is done in a new way because he's opening a new day for Israel. And Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli speaks again wisely. You must tell me. If you don't, you'll be punished severely for being a false prophet. And so Samuel passes the test. He hears the word of the Lord and he obeys it. He preaches it. He's submissive to that word. And then Eli is submissive to it too. It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him, not what's good in our own eyes. And so his ministry begins. But the main focus of the chapter is at the end. If you look again at the end of the chapter with me, verses 19. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan, that's the northernmost town of Israel, to Beersheba, the southernmost town, all Israel knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared, and the idea is, again and again at Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And the word of Samuel now came to all Israel. He kept receiving, and he kept bringing. So all Israel received of the Lord, and the word has returned, that word that was rare. And the visions that were infrequent have now returned. We're being called here to celebrate the gift of the Lord's word. And especially how in the fullness of time, many years later, God raised up a far greater prophet named Jesus, who listened to God, knows God like no one else, who said, "Speak, O Lord, for your servant hears." And like no other man spoke that word out, the word of truth, the word of salvation. And God said of his son, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Listen. Listen to him." He's saying to each of us to say to Jesus, "Speak, Jesus, for your servant is listening." Jesus is the word of God. He's the light of the world. His voice is the sound we need to hear. And that word, by God's grace, has returned to us today. It's in our homes. It's in the church. It's in our lives. Don't harden yourself against it. Why will you die? But say instead, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." Amberly, may you grow up to be a good listener to Jesus. He's the best gift of all. All of you children, may you grow up good listeners to Jesus. And say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." All of us. As we grow older, sometimes we can get deaf to the word of God. It gets old and boring. Don't let that happen to you. You need his word, the voice of God every day, speaking into your life. The darkness that you feel invading your soul, the despair, that word is hope for you. It's light. It's humility in your pride. It's joy in your sorrow. It's the hope of eternal life. There's a prophet in our midst. His name is Jesus. Let his word dwell in you richly. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, your word is an awesome word. It's a word that destroys sin. It's a word that brings life and immortality to light through your resurrection from the dead. It's a word that establishes your kingdom. It's a word that builds the church. And we pray that that word may live in us, and you would make us good listeners, good servants of your word, to humble ourselves before you and to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And may that live in each one of our lives. May this be the day, Father. May this be the day, whether where we learn to listen for the first time or listen with renewed zeal for your kingdom. So go with us, bless us, plant your truth deeply into our lives, so by it we may be built and your church may be built. In Jesus we pray. Amen.